Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. Welcome to the What You Read Next podcast. In this podcast, your host, Lori Amin, will interview published authors to chat about their work, journey to getting published, and their book recommendations. If you share a passion for books and are always looking for your next read, then join us. Welcome to the What You Read Next podcast. Today, we have an author interview with Hannah Ornstein. Hannah is a published author of two women's fiction books. In this episode, we chat about Hannah's writing process, her books, and of course, we have a round of book recommendations. Now, let's get to the show. Hi, Hannah. Welcome to What You Read Next podcast.
Hi. Thank you so much for having me.
So happy to have you here. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
Sure. So I'm the author of two books, working on a third. My first novel, Playing with Matches, came out in 2018, and my next book, Love at First Like, comes out August 6th. And I'm also the senior dating editor at Elite Daily, and I live in New York City.
I love it. And we're going to be talking about your books as well as your job. So first things first, I want to hear, how did you land the senior dating editor position at Elite Daily?
Sure. So I always have been a writer. And out of college, my first job was writing for 17.com. And one of my favorite things to do there was write about sex ed and relationships and everything from like first kisses to crushes to how to have safe sex. And that felt really meaningful to me, and I really connected with that work. And combined with my previous experience working as a matchmaker for a dating service, I'd really put myself in the direction of working in the dating field. And that was something that really fascinated me. I've always been really interested in how people connect, or, you know, what makes a relationship really great. So when this position opened up, it felt like such a no-brainer.
That's awesome. So talking about dating, what are some of the trends that you're seeing now?
Oh, that's such an interesting question. I see a lot of, think pieces going back and forth, worrying that millennials aren't having enough sex. They call it the sex recession. Cosmo recently did a really fantastic piece about how that's actually not true, and millennials are really redefining sex. It may not be as frequent as past generations, like very slightly, like less than 3 times per year, which is really nothing when you think about it. But instead, they're prioritizing more satisfying sex, which I think is a really interesting trend.
Yeah. So most importantly, how does your work inform your books? Because you write about rom-coms.
You know, I never set out to have both of them fall under similar themes, but I think it just shows that we all want to connect. We all want to find love. We all want to find happiness in our relationships. And those themes are just things that I love to think about. So that's why it shows up pretty strongly in my fiction as well as my day job as an editor.
And so let's talk about your journey to be a published author. How is that process like?
Long. I think it takes a lot longer than people think. But I always knew that I wanted to write a novel. I wasn't really sure that I was creative enough or determined enough to do it, but I said, I might as well challenge myself because what do I have to lose? So when I was in college, I wrote a short story about a young matchmaker in New York City. And the summer after I graduated, while I was still applying to jobs, I spent a lot of time working on making that into a longer piece of fiction. So by the time that I got my first job, I had about half of the first draft of Playing with Matches written. And from there, it's just a long journey of revising and working to get an agent and then an editor and a publishing deal and then editing the book. And then it's a really fun process to work with the graphic designer on the cover and then the PR and marketing teams to make sure that the launch is a huge success. So it's a lot of fun. But from start to finish, it took about 3 years.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, it's a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's talk about your writing. Do you follow an outline or do you go see where the story leads you?
I'm definitely an outline person. Okay. My biggest fear is writing thousands and thousands of words and then not being able to use them. So before I write anything, I have a pretty clear outline down to like what happens in each scene So I really do know where I'm going, and I can tinker with the outline to make it perfect before I dive in and start writing. So I really appreciate working that way, because that means that I never really have to think about where the plot is going once I'm writing. I just sit down, open my computer, say, oh, like, it's chapter 10. Here's what happens in chapter 10. And then I just sit down and write it.
And do you keep, like, character path, like, how the character development, like, do you keep kind of, like, a storyline or, like, a list of, you know, inspirations or specific things are about the character that informs the development of it?
I do, yeah. You know, I have a lot of Google Docs, or honestly, I just, like, email myself or, like, type notes on my phone. I find that's really easy if I'm just, like, walking around or, like, wake up in the middle of the night. I can just send myself an email that's like, oh, my God, this is what has to happen. I get it now. And then I can search those in my inbox and find them later and then add them back into my outline or my chapter or whatever I'm working on.
I love it. So how do you keep track of, you mentioned you keep them like just emailing yourself, but there are other places, like, do you keep Pinterest boards or any other places where you track different inspirations?
Or Pinterest boards sound fun. I don't, but that sounds like a really fun idea. No, I don't. But I always have a running list in my head of places that I'd love to set scenes in, because every place that I write about is a real location, whether it's like a restaurant or a bar or a park. And so I think about places that are really fun, and I try to like keep a mental list of those that could be really exciting for different scenes.
Yeah, I was going to ask, because in most of the places I was like, I read them, I'm in New York based. And so I was like, these sounds familiar. So I was like,
yeah,
real places. Or, and then I read your author's note and it says, you mentioned some of the places. I'm like, oh, they're real. So
yep, they're all real.
I love it.
Thanks.
So do you share your work along the way, or do you wait till it's completed for others to read?
So my first reader is always my sister, Julia. She is my most avid fan, and she is also really honest. So she'll tell me if something isn't working. So I always send her chapters, and her encouragement was really something that helped me get through the first draft of my first novel in particular. So she's my first reader. And then my parents always try to sneak peeks, but that's a little bit more stressful. And then once it's out into the world, like it's really exciting to have other people read it, but it doesn't feel as nerve-wracking anymore, because by that point, there's really nothing more that I can do. Like, it's printed, it's done, it's out there. So then it's just, I think, really exciting for other people to read it.
I love it. So let's talk about your books now. We're going to talk about Playing with Matches first, which is a rom-com about a young matchmaker and a top dating service. And I would be remiss to say that you were a young matchmaker in a top dating service. So how much of this real life story was inspired the book?
Yeah, I mean, I did work as a matchmaker. I was the youngest matchmaker at an elite dating service in the mid-2010s. And as I was doing the job, it was like the most outrageous, ridiculous, exhausting, but like hilariously fun job I've ever had. And I kept saying to myself, like, this has to be a book. Like, there's no way that this world could not be a book, because you're dealing with people who have like really exciting, fabulous lives. You're in New York. People are, you know, there are high stakes. Everybody's looking for love. So I knew that that was something that I wanted to play around with. But the actual characters themselves are fiction, because, you know, you have to, I don't want to breach client confidentiality, obviously, but also, you know, I think it's just more fun if you get to make the story your own.
Yeah. So did you encounter a wretched Gretchen in real life, or was this something?
All my characters are fictional, but I mean, there's certainly, I take inspiration from my clients, but they're all fictional.
I love it. Yeah. I figure it's probably fiction. You just probably take different pieces, and you're like, okay, these are characteristics, and maybe mash up and make it something useful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wretched Gretchen, for people who haven't read the book, she is one of the most memorable characters. I get asked about her a lot. She has, I think, like a 7-page checklist, single-faced, bulleted, pointed, for her dream match. And so she definitely puts Sasha, my main character, the matchmaker, through the ringer, trying to find her perfect man.
Yeah, I love the recount. She's like, I found someone, and then I got a thousand word document email about why this is not the right person. So that was a really good, funny yet somewhat in real life, because I've known people who have the long list of like, here's what my criteria looks like, and then then it's like, you know, I'm not even gonna bother. So
yeah. It's easy to be picky, but I think if you're super, super, super picky about really superficial things like how tall somebody is or how much money they make, then you're really just limiting yourself.
Yeah, so true. So the ending was interesting. So this is not, I wouldn't consider romance because there's a happy ever after, but it's a different happy ever after. So would you consider a follow-up book since Tasha was only 22, maybe, you know, a few years later when she's revisiting her life after being a matchmaker?
Yeah, you know, I definitely thought about what would happen with Sasha in the future. And if you read Love at First Like, she and her roommate Caroline do pop up very briefly. Mm-hmm. And that scene was really, really fun to write because I wanted to give readers an opportunity to see what they're like a few years in the future in their careers and in their love lives.
I love it. All right, so let's talk about Love at First Like. I have to be honest, I actually thought I was like, it's gonna be cutesy rom-com and whatnot, but then I realized it was like, it had depth, it had like, it talked about issues that I was struggling with, and I was like, this is actually a really good book that I read in one sitting. So
oh, thank you so much.
Yeah, so Love at First Like is about a duo who gets caught up having a fake fiance, a fake engagement on Instagram, and you know, spirals, and it all spirals from there. So how much of the social media need to have a perfect life inspire you to write this book?
That's an interesting question. You know, I think I've definitely felt the same pressure that a lot of people feel, which is like, is this photo good enough to post on Instagram? What's the perfect caption? I work in media, so I have a lot of friends who work in social media, and hearing about the pressures that they go through was definitely really inspiring, you know, for a person who is on social media in a professional capacity. But one thing that actually did inspire the book was not so much the pressure that I felt so much on social media, because at the end of the day, it's just Instagram. But after my first book came out, I, for the first time, was really like DMing with a lot more people, most of them readers. There's just like a lot more professional pressure to put myself out there in social media. And that was something that was new to me, and that got me thinking about, you know, what it's really like to be a person who does have to use social media professionally. And of course, that led to Instagram influencers, and that's where the character of Eliza came from.
Yeah, you talked about influencers and FOMO, and so why was it important for Eliza's personal conflict to that impact the story? Like, why was it important to touch upon that as opposed to just saying, well, I just posted here, and then, you know, it's all
going to
go away.
Well, on Instagram, if you are a person like Eliza, you can't really just post something and then expect it to go away. So the mistake that she makes at the beginning of the book that kicks off the action is that she posts a photo on Instagram, sort of in like a drunken fit of frustration. Once she finds out that her ex-boyfriend is engaged to somebody else, she posts a photo that makes it look like she's engaged. And her followers are really into it because as a business owner who sells fine jewelry and engagement rings, I think her followers do want her to have that happily ever after. I think that one thing that was really interesting to me while researching and writing the book was the way that a lot of entrepreneurs do find success, I think, when they do post more personal content about their boyfriends or husbands or partners or babies or family vacations. And when she finds success with that as a result of posting something so personal, and she realizes that she can't step away from it, then she's put into this interesting conflict where she has to sort of put her personal life out there in a way that might be kind of scary for some people in order to experience the professional gain that she suddenly really, really needs.
Yeah, I think that was like the major impact is like, you know, just seeing the role of social media and how it impacts your day-to-day life. Especially as an influencer, when you think about an audience of not just one or two people, not just your mom, your dad, or it's actually an audience of 100,000 people who have, you know, comments and expectations and likes and whatnot, and how does that spiral down?
Yeah.
So one thing you touch upon is the reality of dating in New York City, and specifically in the bar scene. And I'm thinking of when Liza is looking for the fake fiancé. I think you touch upon that it was fun to see how the different potentials are out there, but how right now we're using dating apps along with just going to the bar. Like, it's not just going to the bar and just saying hi. It's actually you're going on Tinder and going, you know, on a fake fiancé spree. What inspired you to do that? Like, is something in real life that you noticed from your work that this is something that's happening as a trend, or is it something that that just added more value to the story?
It's kind of all of those things. I definitely knew that she had to have some sort of dating experience before finding her fake fiancé. Mm-hmm. And I was interested in having her use dating apps just because that's how people date these days, and it didn't feel genuine to have a young character date without thinking of dating apps first, because that's just how our generation gets things done. But I do think that there is real value in like a really sweet meet cute, and so Eliza does wind up meeting somebody in real life at a bar, and I had to set it at Dorian's, which is this really iconic but sort of hilarious bar on the Upper East Side, and I thought it would be really fun to set a scene there. Some of the worst comments that she gets from men at the bar are things that I've heard from real men at Dorian's. So that's something you can keep an eye out for when you're reading.
Yeah, I can identify because I've been at Dorian's and I've been that bar scene. And so it was something I can identify with. And at the same time, like, oh my gosh, you know, it's like, it's interesting. You know, I read a lot of romance, and I have to be honest, there's not a lot of talk about dating apps. So it's actually interesting to see some resurgence of like new romance talking about dating apps, but it's something unique that you're bringing into the forefront. That's, even though it's happening in real life, there's someone in the genre, there's like the meet cute that happens, you know, walking down the street, when the reality is like you're on Tinder swiping right or left. Along with, you know, maybe going to the bar and maybe trying different methods to meet the right guy.
Right. And I felt similarly to you. When I was writing my first book, I felt that I hadn't really seen a love story that began on Tinder or began on a dating app. And that felt to me like something was missing, which is why that my first book has a love story that does begin on dating apps. Because, you know, millennials are reading these books, but I don't know if millennials are always writing these books. You know, we're young, we're getting up there. So it was important to me to definitely incorporate dating apps into all the relationships and all the dating scenes in my book.
Yeah. So thank you for sharing. The role of friendships and sisterhood is important throughout Eliza's story. You write a great girl squad. You know, my question is, my question is, if one of your friends came up with Liza's, you know, conundrum, finding a fake fiancé, what would you tell her?
You know, I might tell her it's not the greatest idea in the world. I would give her a book that tells her exactly why. But it's definitely hard to tell friends when you don't agree with their decisions. But this is one that I think is pretty easy to say, like, look, this clearly is not a great idea. That said, bad ideas make for great novels because they're really fun to watch the characters' mistakes unfold.
Yeah, it makes a great novel, but the reality is, like, if someone comes in and is like, I'm going to get married in 6 months, you know, like, but I don't have a fiancé, I'm like, maybe this is not the right thing. Maybe you can read it in the book, but not in real life. So even though this is a rom-com, you touch upon entrepreneurship both from Alexis' point of view, but also for Carmen, you know, when she's with her startup. How much research did you conduct? Because it was spot on from my experience. So I want to know how much research did you do?
Yeah, I did do some research about entrepreneurship, especially the challenges that female entrepreneurs face. And I always knew that I wanted Carmen to have that as her main arc in the book. Just because I think that so many people are interested in starting their own business, and I wanted to shine a little bit of light on what that really can be like and how difficult it can be, even though it can be, I haven't done it, but from the looks of it, really satisfying.
Yeah, that's awesome. So this is a rom-com, and somehow you were able to master having two different suitors, but not the love triangle, which is a big feat. So I want to commend you on that. But I also want to commend you on writing someone a healthy, loving relationship. So did you have a source of inspiration or just kind of like an ideal, like this will be a healthy relationship as opposed to just being kind of like, you know, just romance just for the sake of romance?
Yeah. That's interesting that you say that. I tried to make the two relationships in the book pretty different from each other because mm-hmm. I think that if you've dated more than one person, you realize that you really do learn wildly different lessons from each relationship.
Mm-hmm.
But one reason this book was significant for me personally, as a writer of rom-coms and a writer of love stories, is that this is the first book that I wrote since falling in love with my boyfriend. And so to have that as inspiration was very sweet.
Oh, that's so sweet. I love it. Well, it shows in the book. So I want to commend you on that.
Thank you.
So let's talk about your third book that it's coming out next year. Can you tell us?
Yeah, it comes out summer 2020, the summer of the Olympics. Because it's about Olympic gymnastics.
Oh my gosh. So do you have background gymnastics or something you're fascinated with?
I do. Yeah. I was a gymnast for 15 years growing up. And I actually grew up in the same hometown as Allie Raisman, who is a two-time Olympian.
Oh my gosh. That's amazing. I can't wait to read the book next year. So
thank you so much.
Now let's go to the round of book recommendations. This is an opportunity for you to share to the audience what they should read next. So it's just a quick set of questions and we're just going to go through them. Are you ready?
Yes, I am.
Okay. So what's your favorite genre?
Women's fiction.
Okay. Who's your favorite author?
That's such an incredibly hard question because I fall in love with so many really talented authors, but one person I'm really loving right now is my friend Andrea Dunlop. Her book, We Came Here to Forget, is out this summer, and I also really love her previous book, She Regrets Nothing. They're both huge page turners and they're really different from each other. One's more of like a family drama and a mystery, and the other is really about New York City's socialites. So they're both really fun and secretive and mysterious and interesting in different ways.
Love it. I actually have her upcoming book in my queue. So I'm going to read it this weekend. So thank you for the recommendation.
It's so good.
So what are your top three favorite books of all time? Or if you want, you can say books you read this year. So it's up to you.
So one recent one that I just read last week was Red, White, and Royal Blue by Casey McQuiston. So good. So charming. For those of you who don't know, it's a queer YA rom-com about the son of the first female president of the United States and the Prince of England. And it's super sweet and charming. I laughed so many times. Mm-hmm. An old classic that's a favorite would be Fear of Flying by Erica Jong. And this is, I guess, also royalty themed, but the first book that I read that really made me think that I could become an author was The Royal We by Heather Cox and Jessica Morgan, which is also just completely delightful. And it's kind of like fan fiction for Will and Kate's relationship, if you're into that.
I know. I love The Royal We. I feel like Red, White, and Blue and Royal We are kind of like my companion novels of royal, of all things royalty. Like, they're just so good. Like, I'm looking for the sequel that's coming out next year.
I'm really excited.
Yeah. What has been one book?
I recently read The Fever by Megan Abbott, and it was creepy and delightful.
Mm-hmm. And what is your go-to book recommendation?
Ooh, I would have to say maybe The Knockoff, which is by Joe Piazza and Lucy Sykes. Mm-hmm. And I feel like it has sort of something in there for everybody. It's a career drama. It's a book set in New York City, if you love those. And it's just really funny and really smart.
I love it. Tell us where we're going to find you online.
So I'm on Twitter and Instagram at Hannah Orens, HannahOrens.
Awesome. Thank you, Hannah, for being on the show.
Thank you so much for having me. It was great talking to you.
Thank you, Hannah, for a great interview. For show notes and a list of books mentioned in this podcast, please visit whatdoweenextblog.com. Thank you so much for listening. We'll be back next week with another author interview. Have a great week.
Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What to Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whatyourneextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.